Okay, today is Daf Lamed Hey, but we're going to start Daf Lamed Dal on the day. It's the very bottom. Omar Rava Af Ananami Tani Niku. This little shtickle finishes up the Gemara from yesterday. Yesterday we learned about the Inyan of Zriya by Truma. Our example was, let's learn the Gemara's Maskana. Gemara's Maskana, at least according to one opinion, is we have Truma, Shesilin Shel Truma, saplings. We have growths of Truma, which have been detached from the ground, like little onions. And then after they were detached from the ground, they were designated as truma, and then they became tame. So now you got a big problem. You have produce, it's truma, and it's tame. What do you do with it? You have to destroy it. No choice. Along comes the Gemara as a solution, the bride. So the bride says, take it and replant it. And when you replant it, then the tumor will depart. But even because once you replant it, it's mechubal lekarka, that's called zriya, that literally zriya, it's now mechubal lekarka, the tumor departs, but it's still osur biachila. So we had this whole discussion yesterday, what exactly does it mean that it's osur biachila? Does that mean that it's osur biachila for Yisraelim? That's too simplistic, because of course, if you go and tell me that when you plant it in the ground, the tumor departs, it's truma. It's still truma. Gedulei truma truma. And it belongs to the property of the kohen, but it's still also for a zar. That's simplistic. We already know that from other sources. So along came the Gemara, one opinion that we had a tremendous chiddush, that when it says that it's osur, you know why it's osur? It's osur for the kohanim to eat. So what does that mean? So we didn't really go through the details in the Gemara, but the basic concept is male osu b'tshuma. This concept, okay, that's the concept. Okay, the sugya of Daf Lamed Daled really is, and on the base is male. What does it mean, male? An additional, what's a good word? An additional standard, higher standards. Okay, that's the term. A higher standard was made by truma, meaning even though technically when you plant the truma in the ground, the truma departs and kohanim are allowed to eat it, Chazal did not want to go so far to allow the kohanim to actually eat something which was osur until now. Because even when it comes to Hesach Hadas, let's say we'll follow the approach at Hesach Hadas, that was, so yes, Hesach Hadas is going to be, it's not Psul Gufoy. Let's assume the Hesach Hadas is only Psul Tuma. When you plant it in the ground, the Tuma departs. But since at one point in time it was also Biachila, Male, Chazal had higher standards for Tuma. Technically, Me'ikr Hadin, it's Mutter. Me'ikr Hadin, it's Tuma, the Tuma departs, the Tuma departs, it's Tuma Tehoira, and you're allowed to eat it. But Chazal were just not comfortable with doing this, because it would set a bad tone. It would set a bad example that you could precedent that they were not happy with. So that's called Mala Osu Bitshuma. Now the Gemara goes, then we did not learn this section. Then the Gemara gives an example. We find this concept of Mala by Kotchim. Okay, this concept of Mala Kotchim was said by Nisach HaMayim. Okay, just very quickly, the case of Mala by Nisach HaMayim is, you know that on Sukkis, there's a mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, they pour water on the Mizbeach.
So you're not coming.
They pour, change their mind, change their plans.
Uh-huh. So see what he did to make sure that you're here tonight. You're mm-hmm. serious now,
he changed his mind, that's his mind has changed.
So we have this. Gemara gives an example of Mala by Kutchin. Now, I'm not going to go into details now because that was yesterday's stuff. But the basic idea is, if you have water, and what are you using for Nisach HaMayim, and at Shabbos, and on Shabbos you can't really go out. It's not the right thing on Shabbos for different reasons. It's not proper on Shabbos to collect the water, to go draw water from the Shisin in a normal way, to draw fresh water. And then the water that you need for Nisach HaMayim on Shabbos is Tameh. All of a sudden they wake up in the morning and they find that a dead sheretz in the vat. They have the jug of water. They were planning to pour on the Mizbeach for the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot Chol Hamoed on Shabbos. And now they discover the water is Tameh. So what are they going to do? If it was during the weekday, it's Chol Hamoed Sukkot, during the weekday, no big deal. Okay, so the water is Tameh, big deal. So go outside, go down the mountain, go down Har Bayis, go down to the Shiloyach, and they'll draw fresh water, and they'll bring the fresh water into the Beis HaMikdash, and they'll do Nisach HaMayim. But on Shabbos, it's not Shabbos-tik to do that. Why exactly? I don't know the exact details. They have to carry, even though there was an Erev, and even though it's Yerushalayim, whatever. I don't know all the pratim. But it wasn't the right thing to do. It's also Tircha Yisera. On Shabbos, it's too much of a Tircha. You're not supposed to do things like Tircha Yisera. So what do they do? Solution. You use the water they already collected, and they'll be metaher of the water. How will they be metaher of the water? Through zuria. Zuria means they'll take the water, and they'll put the water into the... There's a stream which flowed from the Shiloach, that flowed from the Shiloach, and they'll just take this same water. Instead of drawing fresh water, like a mikveh, you have the bar in the mikveh, you have the mikveh, and you have the bar, and you have a little hole, and it connects. And when it touches, when there's hashaka, then the water in the bar makes the water in the tap water in the bath kosher mikveh water. Same thing, they'll be metayer the water that's tameh by connecting it to the water of the shiloh. That does not involve tircha. There's much less tircha. So the Gemara says, can you do this? So the Gemara says that in some situations you can, but in some situations you can't. If the water was already sanctified in a kli shares, even though technically you can do it, Chazal said don't do it. Why? Male osu, they made a higher standard. So that concept of taking water and having it connect with water that's tar, spring water, some water from the source, in order to remove tumah, is exactly the same thing as taking the onions that we learned about yesterday and planting them in the ground and causing them to take root.
Just borrow some water from the kiel.
Oh, so they talk about that. That's a very big tircha. So the kiel, they have to go and they draw. It's also a very big tircha. They have to from the muchni to draw water. They talk about that. It's a very big tircha.
What makes it tell? The fly would die.
Not a fly. A fly only shmoyne shiratzim. They're only eight types, which are very large. They're like they look like rats.
Uh-huh.
They're not like, when we talk about a sheretz missing, it doesn't mean a teeny little insect. Uh-huh. A sheretz that's metame means they're big. They're like a cat, size of a cat, even bigger. Those are a specific group of eight shiratzim.
You know what they are?
The Torah says we don't know what they are. We don't know what they are. They're like rabbits.
You don't know what they are?
I don't think so. Maybe we do. I don't know. But they're not small.
Uh-huh.
They're big. They're significant
they're not
in size.
Like your local grasshopper or fly.
Right, they're not. Those are not. Those are also to eat.
You can't
eat them, but they're not, those are not metame. The shmona shoras and metame with an avatuma are
certain chagovim that they have to
hold on. The mutu achila, the mutu that's the sardim. But we're talking about the little things that you hear in the news today that you can't have to have filtered water and this and that because they're little teeny microscopic bugs which you can't really see. One thing is for sure, those bugs are not metame. That's not the shmona shoras and what the Torah says.
Where is it?
Parsha Shemini. I think it's Parsha Shemini. I believe so, Pastor. I'm naming mistake. Okay. So the point of here is the point the Gemara wants to make is this concept. They are identical concepts. Taking truma, onions that are tameh, and replanting them in the ground and having them take root. When they take root, that will cause the tumma to depart. That's called zuria. The counterpart to taking onions in the ground to have them take root is taking water, that's tameh, and having it make contact with water from its source, natural spring water. And when they make contact, that's called hashaka, like Yaakov hashaka, and that automatically purifies the water in this container. That's just as equivalent to it taking root. And the Gemara is just like when it comes to water, the hashaka, the water, Chazal said that it does not work. You're not allowed to do it in certain situations, especially in a situation where the water already has been sanctified to the degree where it's already in a kli shares. And the reason why it does not work is not because me'ikar hadina does not work. The reason why it does not work is because of a mala. Mala means a higher standard, a higher standard. Same exact thing. Taking the water, taking the onions, and putting the onions in the ground, having them take root, is not going to allow the Kohen to eat the onions because of a higher standard mala. Okay, that basically is a nutshell this part of the one that we did not do yesterday. Now the Gemara just wants to prove this point. Omar Rava.
I'm going to ask you something. The part that we did do yesterday, let's take a cucumber, let's take a pepper.
Yeah.
Can you put those in that?
Yes.
But that grows above ground. The onion
as long as
is the plant itself.
As long as it takes
root. The root itself.
As long as it takes root and begins to derive nourishment.
As long as it's joining from the ground.
Yeah, ground. Doesn't matter. Up above the ground, below the ground, doesn't make a difference. As long as it's yearning from the karaka, that it's taking root and it's deriving its sustenance, its nourishment, from
I
the ground.
You take a pepper and open it up.
As long as it's fresh.
And it will grow from that.
You have to look at every case differently.
The onion will grow from itself.
Okay, you have to look at every case differently.
The bulb itself is the root.
Okay, let's go by it. So, Omar Rava, let's see now.
Yeah.
Omar Rava, let's see what it says. Omar Rava, the Rava is the Avanam, we also learned this halacha elsewhere. We learned this concept called a mala. Mala. Mala means a higher standard. It says in the pasuk, "Nasan lov mayim chay melchera." This is a new halacha. Here's the case. You have air, water, paraduma. A person is tummy mace. He comes in contact with the dead. What is the halacha? In order for him to be tahar, you have to sprinkle upon him the water from the paraduma.
Right.
You take ash from the paraduma,
right,
and you mix it with spring water, and you mix that water together, and the Kohen sprinkles this water on the person's tummy on day 3 and day 7. And then on day 7, he goes to mikvah and he's tahar. Now, how do you prepare this water? You have to prepare the water in a special kli sharis, in the utensil that has sanctity from the Beis HaMikdash. So the question now is, when you go to collect the water from the spring, can I take plastic bottle from my house and scoop up some water, come into the Beis HaMikdash, and then pour the water that I've scooped up in my chreis, some plastic cup that's not sacred, and pour it into the kli sharis? Or is there a requirement that I have to take the actual kli sharis from the Beis HaMikdash, go out to the spring, and collect and draw the water with the kli sharis directly from the spring? That's the question. So the Gemara is going to tell us now that technically speaking, no. Min ha-Torah, it's not required.
To what?
Min ha-Torah, to take
the kli sharis.
You can take a plastic cup. Go out with a plastic cup. Go take the foam cup over here by the water heater and take it. Go out to the shul and take and scoop up some water. You bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, and there's a beautiful kli sharis which has the ash of the paraduma, and you pour it inside, and now the water becomes sacred with the ash of the paraduma, and now we have this paraduma water which we're going to sprinkle upon the person who is tummy. That's what you can do min ha-Torah. However, male osu. In the Beis HaMikdash, there are higher standards. They said, no, we don't want you, we want you to take the actual kli sharis. We want you to sanctify the water from its source. Take the kli sharis, go out to the spring, and draw...
The person who needs zrik,
not the person. Not the person. He's right. He's talking about the Kohen. The Kohen shall do. The Kohen shall go take the kli sharis and go out to the spring and fill up the kli sharis from the spring. In other words, sanctify the water directly from its source. This is not a technical halacha. This is what's called a mala, a higher standard.
Does this have to be done every time someone was told it?
Yeah. Well, they had it in storage.
Or did they have storage?
They had it in storage. No, they definitely had it in storage. A large vat of the water of the Parduma, and they only had in the history of the world, only happened, I think, 7 times.
That what?
There was a Parduma was prepared. Ash. There wasn't that much ash to go around.
Yeah, but
Parduma.
Fine. So the ash could be kept in a container, right. But can the water and the ash
they didn't make new water. I don't know the answer.
Absolutely
but,
not.
But seemingly the water, they had in
it
storage.
It had to be fresh for each week.
Yeah? Fresh?
100%.
Yeah, okay, fine, okay. Let's see. So all my rub, I've been on okay, so let's try to come some ground.
A fresh mixture.
Every sprinkling required a fresh water.
Okay, let's see. So, Amar Rav, Afna Mitnina, Vinos Nalov Mayim Chayim El Keli. So, the Lord makes a drasha. What's the drasha? He shall pour upon him Mayim Chayim El Keli, Shetehei Chiyusan Bechli. The Gemara takes those last three words, Chayim, El Kelly. What does Chaya mean?
Life.
To life. In context of the water, what does it mean? It means living water. What's living water?
Running.
Spring water. It means if it's in the fridge, what's that
Poland.
Brand called? Poland?
Poland Spring?
That's not Mayim Chaim. Because it's already in the container. Maybe when they get it, it's Mayim Chaim. But
it's
right now,
something that comes up by itself.
Chaim. So, and what's the drash? So the drash is Chaim El HaKli. Chaim El Kli. Then you have to take the Kli Shares. The Kli Shares. And the Kli Shares is dipped into the spring to draw the water. Okay? Shetehei Chiyuson, the life, the Kli. Now the Morris says, the period. And the Morris says, what? It doesn't make sense. Because it says, Vinosan, Alma Tulushininu. Now the Gemara makes a question. It's a question. The Gemara says, but that's not so. But it says here, but there's a contradiction, because the Pasuk begins with the word Vinosan. Vinosan has the connotation, you will take water, which is separate. Now, I don't know the exact the Yukim of language, or the Gemara, we have to trust the Gemara on this. The word Vinosan means you're taking water that already has been separated from its living source, and you're now, for the very first time, going to pour it El Kelly. So basically, what the Gemara is doing is we have a contradiction. On the one hand, you're telling me it says Chaim El Kelly. Take the Kli Shares and dip the Kli Shares into the spring. On the other hand, the word Vinosan, you shall put, means the water is in a plastic cup, in a foam cup, that has no sanctity. And I'm taking the water in a foam cup and I'm pouring it into the Kli Shares. So we have a contradiction, the Gemara says.
What's the contradiction? I don't see.
Here, the Pasuk says, Vinosan, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vinosan olav, mayim chayim, shall pour upon the ash.
Right.
Okay, Vinosan olav mayim chayim el keli. The Gemara makes a drasha from the words chayim el keli. It's mashma that the living water has to come directly into the utensil. Chayim,
right.
Living water directly into the kli, which
right.
Means take the kli shoris and dip it into the spring. But on the other hand, the pasuk begins with the word Vinosan olav. The word Vinosan has a connotation that the water is in a foam cup, and you're taking that foam cup and you're pouring it upon the ash, which is now already in a Kli Shares. That means you're not taking the Kli Shares and dipping it in the spring.
Right.
So we have a contradiction. So what is going on here?
That would probably depend on if you put the ash in first.
Well, you do both. You put it in the water first. The Gemara makes a drasha. First you put it in the water, then you put it in the ash, then you put the water on top. You do twice. That's a separate drash. Let's go further. But didn't you tell me one line ago that it says Chayim El Kelly? So the Gemara says the answer. The answer is Ela Male Hochinami Mala. The answer is the Iker part of the Pasuk is Vinosan. Okay? And the word Vinosan has the connotation you take water in a plastic foam cup and you pour it into the Kli Shares. That is the Iker Hadin. This that we said, Chayim El Kelly, is not a real drasha. That is an asmachta. Chazal made a mala. They have a higher standard. They want you to take the Kli Shares and dip it into the spring. And they based it upon a remes in the pasuk, Chayim El Kelly. But that's not the Iker. That is just what we call an asmachta. Why did Chazal make this asmachta? And why did they find a remes in the pasuk? Because Mala also the Kachem. Kachem have higher standards.
Kachem.
So the Gemara says, Ela Mala, top of the page. So Hachinami, so the Gemara says, here as well, when it comes to the sugya of truma, this is the Gemara's maskana, truma tenea, I put it back in the ground, and it takes root, and the tumah departs, but it's still osur for the kohen to eat. Why? Technically, it's mutter for the kohen to eat. It's a mala. Once it was osur, it remains osur. Hachinami, mala.
I still don't understand. Like I asked yesterday, what would be the purpose of
taking off the tumah? So it shouldn't contaminate. You know, it's a danger. Anything that's tame is a dangerous is a danger. It's like a nuclear bomb. It's a danger. As long as it exists, it can go off. You're not gonna eat a nuclear bomb, right? You're not gonna.
But like his question was, so why don't you take and destroy it?
You could.
Bury it.
You could. You're right. It was buried. It was put in the ground, took root, the tomb departs, but it still remains osa bi'achila, not technically, not me'ikar hadin, only because of a male. That's the maskar. Another example of this concept. Now the next example is a little bit different. Next example is a male, not on a derabbanan level, but on a deraisa level. Okay, now what do we mean? Omar Rav Sinibar Ashafnam Tina Toval V'Ola V'Ola. Now this let me tell you Allah outside. A person is Tomei, right? He Tomei. And he goes any type of Tumah. And he goes to mikvah. He goes to mikvah. So what's the halacha? After you go to mikvah, what happens? Generally speaking, if a person was an av hatumah, you now become a sheni, and you have to wait until the stars come out for the tumah to depart entirely. So if you're a sheni, so what does that mean if you're a sheni? If you want to eat chulin, it's fine, because chulin cannot become, you want to eat chulin on taharas hakodesh. If you want to eat chulin, you won't even go to your house, right? You're in your home. So in your house, everything is tahar. If you're a sheni and you go home, will you contaminate the food in your home? No. Because chulin cannot become more than a sheni. If you are a tfulyam, a person who goes to the mikvah and is waiting for the stars to come out as a status of a sheni, and there's no way he can contaminate chulin. But he can contaminate truma. Truma can become a shlishi. And kachim can become a revi. What about maiser sheni in Yerushalayim? Can Ma'aser Sheni, does it become a Shlishi, or is it a Sheni? So this Tana holds, Ma'aser Sheni has the status of Chulin, and it cannot become a Shlishi, so therefore a person's Tomei, he goes to Mikvah 8 o'clock in the morning, and now he comes home for breakfast, he wants to eat Ma'aser Sheni, go right ahead, because Ma'aser Sheni cannot become more than a Sheni. And since you are a sheni can't make anything, you can't make it, you can't cause it any harm. You can't eat truma. If you're a kohen, you won't eat truma, you can't eat truma, because truma can become a shlishi. So when you're going to eat truma, you're going to make the truma into a shlishi. But my shlishi is okay, so here we go. Af ananam taval, the person went to mikvah, va'ola, and he came out of mikvah, oichel the meiser. He can eat meiser sheni. Okay, no problem. What about Heriv Shimsho? Now the stars come out. Oh, gewaldig. So now you are 100% tohar. Gesunde heit, oichel b'tshuma. But along comes the Mother Gemara says, b'tshuma in b'kotshim lo. Only tshuma and not kotshim. In other words, what do we mean kotshim? Let's say you're a person of a tzoyra, or your ledes, a person or a zov. Any of those three are required to bring a carbon before they can eat kachem, right? So the Gemara makes it, the pasuk says, Ubo Hashemesh v'toher, and the Gemara makes a drasha. V'chumim kachem lo. This is a mala, the rice, okay, this is a, give me 1 second, Dalit, okay, we'll leave for now. But the point over here is, Harif Shimshay Oichel Betruma, you can eat Truma, Betruma in, but Kachim Lo, why not? So what do we learn from this? Amai Lo, but Kachim Lo, Amai, Tohor Hu, Ella male hochi nami mala.
Because kachem is higher than truma.
Yes, that's what we see from the Torah. The Torah tells us, the pasuk says that you have to bring. I don't have the pasuk in front of me. The Torah says you cannot eat from kachem until you bring your korbanos. A person who is a zav, a mitzayra, or yoledes, they have the status of an av hatumah. So anyway, they can't eat truma because they're tamei. Right? A zav is an avatuma. A woman who gives birth is an avatuma. She can't eat from kachim. To eat from kachim, you have to be tahar. So let's say she goes to mikvah. She has 33 days, 60, 80 days. She's complete, and she goes to mikvah, and she is, she has hair of shemesh. The stars come out. She is completely tahar from her status of tuma. Right? Completely tar from her status of tumah, but she still cannot eat kadashim until she brings the special karbanas that are required of her. But she can eat truma. If she's married to a kohen, she can eat truma. So why? But she has karbanas to bring. She is a yoledes. So why don't we say that the same way she's to the Torah does not allow her to eat kadashim until she brings her karbanos, she is not allowed to eat shuma until she brings her karbanos? Right. The answer is, obviously, the Torah is making a distinction that kachin has a higher standard than shuma. So just like we find this concept that kachin has a higher standard, Chazal borrowed from that concept and they applied it to shuma tameya. If you have truma tameya, an onion that's truma tameya, and you plant it in the ground and it takes root, and the tumor departs, even though the tumor departs, there is a higher standard, you still can't eat it. We're just trying to show that there is such a concept in the Torah of a mala. In this particular case, it applies to kachim, does not apply to truma, but you do see the concept. So too, in other areas of Allah, we also apply the concept of mala, like the Gemara we had before. Ela mala, hachinami mala. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Bekachim lo." The last, the wide line, yeah. The top. Im tuma debas kapar. If it's a tum that requires kadoshim kapara, kon zava zava. Until Rashi says, Rashi doesn't follow through. Okay, that's the case. So then we find a constant of a mala. One more example. Example number three. It says basa becomes tame. You have basa, so you can't, you have to burn it. Now there's an extra vav, viha basa. Why is there an extra vav? The Gemara makes a drasha, the rabbi says, that if wood, if you have the shnei gizri eitzim, wood that you're going to use to burn on the mizbeach for the korbanos, comes in contact with the sheretz, the wood becomes tame. Or ulavoyna, the frankincense that they use for the ketores, or for the lechem apanim, or eitzim ulavos, eitzim ulavoyna, that they become tame. What are you talking about? Doesn't make any sense. It's not true. Eitzim ulavoyna do not become tame. Pshutei kliyetz. They're not utensils. They're not metal. A piece of wood, or something which is not called a utensil, that's a product of wood, is not mekabel tumah. So why then does it say that in the Beis HaMikdash, the wood that was used to burn korbanos and the levoina is mekabel tumah? But the rabbis say it's a levoina b'nei atzmui ninu. So what's the answer? It's kachin. Since it's going on the mizbeach, it's a higher standard. Ela mala hachinami mala. We have the vav vehabasar, higher standard. So when it comes to our sugya of zuriya, to answer our sugya, shuma tameya, the onion that is tame, that's buried in the ground, we're making a mala. The mala is, even though the tumah departs, you still can't eat it. So therefore, we've learned over here, Gval, today we've learned over here, three examples of mala. Okay, that's kedai for this. Three examples of mala. Number one, the example of the mayim chayim, the mayim chayim of the para aduma water, that you should draw the water directly from the source with the klisharis. Example number two is, we see the Torah on a deraisa level said that you can't eat kadoshim until you bring your korbanos.
As long as you're mechusel kippurim.
Even though it's not true by truma. Truma, you can't eat truma even though you're mechusel kippurim. But kachim, you can't eat the meat from your husband's carbon. Let's say your husband brings a carbon shlamim. And he comes up and he says, wife, I have for dinner some delicious meat from my carbon shlamim. That's what they did in those days.
Yeah.
I have some delicious meat from my carbon shlamim. Would you like some meat? You're tar. You went to nikvah. Everything is fine and good. Sorry, husband, I can't join you because I did not yet bring my korbanos. I did not bring. But truma she can eat. Mala. And the third example of mala is the wood that's used to burn, to use for the mizbeach. That wood is makabel tuma, not mikra dim, but a chumr of mala also by kadoshim. Okay, now we go to nusudya. This is easy mishnah. Okay, these are the following types of grain, and they talk today to do business. Always a good idea that if you want a business, you go look in the Gemara, you'll find a new idea for a new business. Traditionally, what was matzah made out of? Wheat. But unfortunately, Rachman al Tzlan, there are people that are allergic to wheat. Right? There are people that are allergic to wheat. Allergic to wheat? You have shatza matzah, you told me. Right?
No.
But the people they make now. What? Karastir spelt. Oh, spelt. You eat spelt matzah. So that's what Gemara says.
Also makes spelt.
Spelt, yeah? So now they make now. They make now for people who are allergic to wheat, they make out of spelt. Where does it come from? This Mishnah. This Mishnah gives us other types of grains which you can make matzah from. There are five types of grain.
Sorry,
here we go. Wheat, barley. Anything barley? Make barley matzah ever here? I never heard of it.
Yeah, I think barley. Huh? Not barley, but oats, I heard.
Oats. Oats they make, right. Oats. But barley, you hear barley matzah? Never heard of it. Barley matzah?
I think in England.
Yeah, you heard such a thing?
Not barley.
Never heard about barley. There must be a reason why. Is there something called barley bread? Does it exist, such a thing? Go to supermarkets?
I never heard of it. Doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Go have to go see on Google
and
see.
Tons and tons of barley, which we fed animals,
right?
Yeah,
but is there such a thing called barley bread?
We're talking about bread.
Tell me, go to the supermarket, go to ShopRite.
It's mashma that they don't make it because the Gemara says that barley is a
machel behemah.
Machel behemah.
So what?
It's not fit.
But you're putting it in your challenge.
Well, it is fit. It's just that's how they.
Manny's
not. Okay, but, but it says here that it's fit, you're allowed to use barley to make matzah.
Right.
It has to be that there exists barley bread. You gotta go check out the supermarket. The kusmin is spelt next. Bishipon
is rye.
Uvishibola shul is oats. Okay, rye, they make rye matzah? I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, oats. They have spelt and they have oats. These things do exist. Okay, let's go by it. So B you got from the five grains. Why only these? Because these
grows more like a grist than like a grain.
I don't even know what it looks like.
What's that?
Rye. Okay, let's go by it. Okay, I want to try to cover some grain. I'll try to do this easy Gemara. The yoitz will be demai. Next thing, can you be yoitz? You're eligible to demai. What is demai? Demai is grain that Amoritz gave you. It's a suffix.
It's a
suffix. It was mafresh meiser. And Amoritz is mafresh truma, for sure. But the suffix is only one. It's only a mashu. And I tell you, it's only a mashu. But the suffix was mafresh meiser. So therefore, you do not. Therefore, are you allowed to eat it? So the b'diavad, yes, you fulfill your obligation because most Amoratzim do separate mice. It's only a meat.
You see what Rashi said? She goes shu'or.
I don't know what these things are. Yes, these different words. These hard
like
words.
Fox.
Yes. Okay. There are a lot of deacon words. The translation I gave is not agreed upon by everyone. It's a very big sugya. What are the five grains? Okay, there are five grains. It's a very, very complicated sugya. The way we translate wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats, not so pashut. Those are the correct translation for these words. There's a lot of stuff in this. I think about Blumenkrantz's book. They have a nice, very nice section there that explains all different opinions, what exactly, and the Raius, and the Rashi, from the Rishonim. Not so public. Okay, let's go by it. We'll see what the Chiddush of the Gemara. You have Maaser Rishon, and the Levi, basically he took the Maaser Rishon before the Yisrael gave Truma Gedol. He chapped. The Seder Hadvarim is the Yisrael gives Truma, and then he gives the Levi Maaser Rishon. So and then the Levi takes from the Maaser Rishon, he takes Truma's Maaser. What happens if the Levi takes his Maaser Rishon before the Yisrael gave Truma? So what's the halacha? So we'll see that b'diavad, once he chaps, once he does it out of order, it's okay. It's b'diavad, it's good. He does not have to give the Truma Gedoyla. and only gives a truma smicer. He does not need to give the truma gedel that would have been taken from that portion, and you can be yoytzi dei chayvasay pesach. The more we explain, the more detail we get on the base. But meiser rishon shnil trumas next. So meiser sheni, meiser behegdish sheniftu. Meiser sheni, and yet hegdish that was redeemed, but it was not redeemed the proper way, which we'll see on the base. It was not redeemed properly. As long as that was redeemed, it's also okay. Also, the kohanim bechala, kohanim can be yotzer their mitzvah deraisa with chala uvit shuma. It's a chiddush because it's not fit. You can't invite a guest.
Because what?
It's not fit for someone else. Maybe the only time you can be yotzer with matzah is matzah that everyone, the whole klal yishol, can eat this matzah. Since this matzah is only an exclusive club. Can eat this matzah. Maybe that's not called matzah, which you can fulfill your obligation. But Gemara says no, it's kosher, it's good. Avolavit hevel, but you're not fulfill your obligation with grain, which you not mafresh shum and meiser. Avolavit meiser rishon shaloyed el trumasay, and you're not going to yotz with meiser rishon if you did not mafresh shuma gedoyla. Meaning, we'll see where you took it after it already was smoothed out in the silo. Well, the Gemara says if you have the grain and the grain was brought into the silo, once it's brought to the solo the zechiv deraisa to be mafis truma gedoyla. If the Levi comes at this point and takes his meiser rishon in advance, he takes it in advance,
there's
takes
no
it too early.
By meiser rishon.
There is. So let's say he took it. Let's say from maybe it is not. He took it to he took it in advance. In this case, since he took it before the truma gedoyla was given, it's not kosher. It's not kosher. It's tether. It's tether because he took it prematurely. The truma gedoyla was supposed to be given first. The truma gedoyla was never given, so it was taken prematurely. So it's no good. The loyd meiser sheni vega shaloi niftu. If it was not redeemed properly, meaning the Give an example of what did the chiddush is at one moment. Look, next case.
Something here I understand by Rabbi Arso is that the challah,
yeah,
with matzah made from challah.
Yeah, you give a kohen challah. When you bake dough, when women bake dough, they mafresh challah.
Into
dough.
Then he made matzah from it.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Kohen is can use it, that's fine.
It's matzah,
you have dough. The women, they didn't mafresh truma in the matzah baker factories. They have to mafresh. But they don't give it to the Kohanim.
But even with chametz, it's not very different.
In most kosher organizations and stores, they also make mafresh challah.
Always mafresh challah. And every baker, the mafresh challah.
Yeah, but this challah.
And you give it to the Kohen.
It's chametz.
No, it's dough. No.
Why not? But it rose already.
It didn't rise. Yeah. It didn't rise. You're in the matzah baking factory. You're mafresh challah. And you go give it to the Kohen. The Kohen goes and he puts it in the oven. He makes matzah. What's the problem?
You take the matzah up and you
Or you give the coin the matzah after it comes out of the oven.
Yeah, you mafresh the challah, you bake it for him.
Right.
Next, challah is hatoid. Now we know a carbon toid has how many breads? 40 breads. Forty breads.
Yeah, 40
breads. Now, and out of the 40, 30 of them are matzah. 30 are matzah, and 10 are chametz. So let's say you have the chalas ha-toida, you have the chalas of the toida, or rikike nazir. Nazir brings 20 breads. 10 chametz, 10 matzah. As the person prepared these breads for his own carbon toida, ein yoytzei bohem, you do not fulfill your obligation. The Gemara will explain what this means. We for the Gemara. Ason limkar b'shuk, if you made these breads, not for yourself, but to sell to a person who will use it for the purpose of his carbon toida, then yoytzei bohem, that they can be used to fulfill the obligation. Now the Gemara looks at Tanur and the Rice, Kusmin, what is spelt? So the Gemara says, very important halacha, min chitin. The Gemara is a tremendous chiddush. There are really only two types of grain. There is the wheat family and the barley family. When we talk about spelt, rye and oats, spelt is just a branch, it's just of wheat.
Close cousin to wheat.
It's a cousin of wheat. And rye and oats is a cousin to barley. That's what the Gemara says. Tana kusmin min chitin, shibola shul and shipoin. Those are the two. Those are min soy. The very, very soy distinct Gemara, and that's why all the scientists, when they study, that's why it's so complicated. Really, they say what? Really? if you're going to tell me that rye is shifain and shibola shulas oats, and the Gemara says that they are cousins to barley, so scientifically you better show me that they're cousins. And if you're not going to be able to prove the scientific with the cousins, then maybe your translation is not on the mark. Maybe you have the wrong translation for these words, and maybe I can show you another type of grain which are cousins to barley, which fit better with translation. So this is a very big sugi. That's why not everyone is so thrilled to use oats. To use oats and to use rye, because we're not really so sure that Shibola Shual and Shifon is really oats, because of all these problems of when the Gemara says that it's a cousin to barley. Is it really a cousin to barley? You have to understand what the Gemara means. There are different interpretations, which is not, I don't know these things. Taita. Minsar. Kusmin. What is Kusmin? So we taita spelt. Gulba. Okay, the Gemara is just telling us different names. Shipoin is dish, we call rye. We don't really know what these things are. Shibola shul is shivile ta'alak, a fox, right? The stalks of a fox, which means oats, what we call oats. The Gemara's term is shivile ta'ala. It's a term which was known to the Chachmei HaTalmud, which we supposedly translate as oats. Right. The Gemara says honey in, only these five. What about rice? Ah, rice. Can you make matzah out of rice? So the Sfaradim do, I think, right? The Sfaradim all,
because
they translate, there are some that translate one of the five minim is mamash rice, so we have different translation. We hold, whatever, let's go right there. Let's just translate now the Ashkenazic translation. Honey in, oirez, we have to do some kavshim again. Oirez is rice with duchan. What's duchan? Millet. It's a type of rice.
Millet is a little bit more like wheat. It grows like wheat, but it grows in clusters like grapes.
Okay, fine. I don't know what these are.
They use it for bird feed.
Okay, millet. The duchan. Rice, which says millet, is millet the duchan? Is that the translation in the article?
It's fit for human consumption, but it's...
What does you have to translate? Duchan. Okay,
millet.
Millet. Translates the millet?
Yeah.
Okay, good, right. Low. Okay, let's try to cover some ground. Low. These things are not kosher for matzah. The Moses says, how do we know this? Omar Rav Shim ben Lokesh. Abchein Tan Rabbi Shmuel. Abchein Tan Rabbi Lozer. Ben Yaakov. Omar Korav. Lo Yisrochel of Chametz. Don Yil Chametz. Shiva Asayam Techel of Matzahs. Dvamer Mek Tidrasha. Dvarim Habom Lechimotz. In order for a grain to qualify for matzah, it must have potential to turn into chametz. Adam yotze b'chem lechivasa b'matzah. Yotzu elu rice and millet. She'ein bar lechimotz. Rice and millet does not rise, at least scientifically. She'ein bar lechimotz elu lechimotz. Oh, but it looks like it rises. You go put rice in a pot. It swells. It seems to turn into some. That the Gemara tells us in Achnami. It looks are deceiving, but technically in Halacha it's called sirchein. It's called spoilage. It's called rotting. There's a fundamental difference between chimutz and sirchein. How do you draw the line? Okay, that's very complicated because you have to know what grains you're dealing with to work backwards to understand the definition of what is called sirchon and what is called chimutz. Masnis and like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, the Amar he disagrees. Or is min dogon who he holds that rice is a grain, and the neila v'chayav nal chimutz ekaris, and the male of a person eats rice that has been soaked in water. Yischayev kares for lo yisrach lo chametz. The Tanya of Yechon Menuyeh Mer, but Oyser Oyser he for Oyser. What is Oyser chametz? Rashi says relatively he forbids the Oyser v'doychan. Mevneish karov lahachnetz. Now we use the word karov, and that's a little bit complicated. What do you mean karov? The Gemara gets confused. Kar, what does it mean karov? It's close, but no cigar. What does that mean over here? Lahachnetz. What? What does that mean? Karov. I have a dilemma. I have two possible translations for the word karov. Ibailahu. Shakarov lahachmetz, which means the kodim machmetz, it turns into chametz faster than wheat. Wheat, it takes 18 minutes. Wheat, it takes 18 minutes. You can daven the whole, you know, there's some minyan, you daven the whole davening 18 minutes.
Oh, yeah?
But
I've been to such a minyan once.
But guess what? Rice? rice, by the time you really get to Baruch Hu, it's already chametz. So you can't even beat, you can't even shock, because you can't.
But
even
rice?
Yeah, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, that's the time. Korov lahachmetz. Wheat takes 18 minutes. Rice? It takes 8 minutes. It takes 10 minutes. It's koroiv. It happens at an accelerated rate. Is that what it means? And if that's what it means it's mamish chametz. Mamish chametz. And there's a chiv koris. Or dilma, maybe when it says korov, korov doesn't mean it means it comes close to chametz, but it's not really chametz. It looks like chametz. It decays. It's sirchaim, but it's not really chametz. Memeilo, there is no king of chametz. So dilma, korv lahachmetz havei, chametz gam aloi havei. So what's the? How do we translate the words korv lahachmetz? Toshma. The Tanya, Anu Yechlem Nuri, Oyrez min doganu, v'chayovin al chimutzoi koris. The Adam Yaitzi by the Chavasa the Pesach. The Chen Chayab Yochanan Nuri Yomer. So the mail is clear that it does turn into chametz. The Horaya, there's a chiv koris. So now we know that when it says Kerv LaHachmetz, Kerv LaHachmetz means it accelerates. Its rate of chimutz is quicker than the rate of chimutz by wheat. Now then he goes another. The Chen Chayab Yochanan Nuri Yomer Kramis Chayeves Pechala. Now what is Kramis? The Gemara says I don't know. My kramis, amabaya, shitznisa. Ah, so now we know what it is, right?
Yeah.
The Gemara says, my shitznisa, amna papa, it's shitznisa dimishtakha bene kalnisa. Now what does that mean? I have no idea. So what does it say in the art scroll? Rashi says it's ketzach. Ketzach. What's ketzach? What does it say in the art scroll?
Found growing among poppy.
Well, say again, it's
hops.
Hops.
Growing among poppy. Poppy seeds.
Is that, it doesn't say what it is. The article doesn't even want to say what it is. Ketzach. What's 38? What does it say 38? Rashi read in Shinsa as nigella, a fennel. Fennel flower. Okay, fennel flower.
The seeds of a plant.
Otherwise, some bear some resemblance to millet. There are indeed other explanations of Shinatzisa. Aruch seems to claim those seeds resemble cumin. Chasvay as caraway seed.
Caraway.
Okay, I don't even know what any of these things are.
Caraway seeds are the seeds that they use on top of bread.
No, those are sesame seeds.
No.
Not talking about on top.
The black, the poppy
it's
seeds.
Rye bread, they sometimes put on the top of rye bread, they put caraway seeds,
okay.
Which is a rice shaped seed that gives off a flavor.
How do you know all these things? You know quite a bit.
I think I learned this Gemara.
You know quite a bit. You know quite a bit. Okay. So shitznisa dimishtakha bene kalnisa among pap. Okay. So this is okay. So that is another an opinion of what is he ought. It's chayv and chala. If you make a dough out of this, he holds that it's really chayv and chala. Vayit amar Rav Aruchon amar Mishlokish nu halacha isa. Now we come to egg matzah. The sugya of egg matzah, isa sheni loisha b'yayin v'shem udvash, dough that it's been kneaded with wine, shem and udvash, or for that matter, eggs, well, also, right. Anything. What is the halacha? Ein chayavin al chimutzah koris. Ah, gvaldik. Basically, matzah ashira, egg matzah yipater. Yosef, Rav Papa, Rav Huda, Rav Yishon, Rav Kami, Rav Adi Bar Ravin, Yosef, Rav Adi Bar Ravin, Rav Kami, Rav Kami, and he was dozing off. Here he was sleeping. What's the reason why don't need it with Yain Shem Advash? You're not Chayiv Chametz Amalei Domakra. Here's the reason why you're not Chayiv Karis. Lo Soichal Olav Chametz Dvarim Shadam Yotzei Bohen Yidei Chayvasa B'matza Chayav Nolav Al Chimutz Akar. So he makes a very dangerous statement. Baha Hoil Sins Ein Adam Yotzei Bohen Yidei Chayvasa B'Havilei Matza Ashira Ein Chayav Nolav Al Chimutz Akar. So he basically is saying there's a tremendous, which the Gemara is going to reject in a moment, that if you have matzah chometz gomor, mamish, the real deal, chometz gomor, but it's chometz that you can't be yoytzi de chavos of Pesach because it's ashira, it's matz ashira, it's yakav lechem oini. The Torah says lechem oini does bread and water, flour and water. If you have a type of flour, if you have flour that's kneaded with yayin, shemen udvash, so it's not lechem oini, it's matz ashira. it's rich bread because it has a flavor, and it's vaday chometz. It's vaday chometz. You potter from chorus for eating this type of chometz on Pesach. The only type of if it would rise, if you would let it rise. In other words, the only type of chometz a person is chayiv for is if you have flour and water. Since these two ingredients potentially can be used to fulfill your obligation, if you're not careful and you allow it to turn into chametz, then it's a chayiv karis. But if you have...
But that means flour and water, that doesn't mean and juice.
Exactly, that's exactly the point of the Gemara. If you have flour and water potentially you can use for your obligation for matzah. So now if you let it rise and turn into chametz, there's a chayiv karis. Because these ingredients could have theoretically been used to be yotzei yedei chayvasei the Pesach. Now that you blew it and you let it turn into chametz, there's a chayiv karis. But if the ingredients that you're starting out with are ingredients which you can never have been the chayim the mitzvah deraisa of chametz, a matzah, because wine and flour produce, even under the best situation, matzah ashira. Now if you're going to let the dough rise and make chametz tikka matzah ashira, chametz tikka bread of ashira, chametz ashira, you're potter from karis. So the Gemara says this doesn't make any sense, because I'll show you, let's say we mamish take a bread and water. It's a flour and water. It's a papa. Hamcheyu. Let's say you take real matzah, right? Shatzah shmur matzah, and you dissolve it. You soak it. You take the matzah meal, right? You take matzah and you soak it in water, and you eat it. You swallow it. Are you yotzei? Of course not. You have to have matzah. Okay, there's a heter. The soak it has to retain the shame lachem. Yeah, but it has to at least have the tzur of lechem to some degree. But let's say you mamish take the matzah and you dissolve it into a soup. Everyone agrees lo yotza. This heter that you can go, you can soak the matzah, it has to at least have a tzur of lechem, a shtickel tzur of lechem. But if you take the matzah and you dissolve it into something which no longer has the tzur of bread, hamcheyu, and you swallow it down, you drink it down. Im chametzu, if it's chametz, it's flour and water. You have flour and water, and it starts as a piece of bread, real chametz. And now you dissolve the bread, you make it into a soup. Onish koris, the zechi of koris. Im matzahu, ein adam yoytzei yidei chayvasa bePesach. But based upon the principle that we just mentioned one moment ago, that if you don't have potential in this method to be yoytzei yidei chayvasa bePesach for matzah, then when you do exactly the same thing in a chametz tikka oifin, you can be potter from koris. You should be potter from koris when you take bread, if you take real chametz tikka bread, and you dissolve it in water, and you turn it into a soup, and you drink it, you should be potter koris for drinking this chametz on Pesach. Because if you would have done exactly the same thing to matzah, shmur matzah, to dissolve it and to drink it down, lo yotza yidei chayvasa Pesach. Hamchev gmoim chametz onish karis in matzah, lo ein adem yisrael yichaz v'pesach. V'yachakev de ein adem yisrael yichavos v'matzah, v'chayin alav v'chimutz v'karis, yichay v'chimutz v'karis. So you see that this principle is not true. So you see it's totally not true. Just like it's not true here, it's not going to be true when it comes to matzah shira. If you're telling me that, flour and yayin produces chometz de'oraisa, if you let it rise, it's chometz de'oraisa, so you should be chayiv koris, even though there's no way in the world you can put those ingredients together to make a matzah sheyotzi ve'chavasa Pesach. So that was the conversation. Now, during the while they were doing this, so there was menamin. There was Rav Idi Baravin was sleeping, so he was half awake when he was listening to this conversation. Itzar b'hu Rav Idi Baravin amaluhu dar dikei kindelach. You're saying foolish things. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the real reason why matzah shira is there's no chiv karis. It's not because it's really chametz. It's just that there's no potential to be yoytzei chavasa Pesach. You know why matzah shira you put it from karis? Because it's impossible for flour and neperois to turn into chametz. Dar the Hainu Tamid Rosh Lachin Rishon Dahavi Lu Mei Peros Umei Peros Ein Machmitzin Mei Peros do not turn the chametz. Halach L'Maisa, we rely upon this for a choyla. That's why egg matzah. Egg matzah for a choyla. Halach L'Maisa, we rely upon this, and there's no bali or bali matzah. You're allowed to have in your home, in your possession, can you rely upon this? Egg matzah. Because we halacha l'maisa, we pask like this. A matzah shira is not chametz. However, malach, we had the Gemara the previous staff, there's a higher standard that we do take into consideration the opinion, the Bar Plukta, that matzah shira does turn into chametz, at least to the degree that you should not eat it if it's not necessary. So the only ones that are allowed to eat egg matzah are a chayla. A chayla can eat it. And why? What's the tremendous advantage of this, which many people take advantage of, is that Erev Pesach, let's say Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos, so lo yotzei yidei soy, but it's still called lechem, and you don't have to worry about crumbs, because there's no balim b'alim matzah on the crumbs of egg matzah, so you can use it for Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos, you can use it, especially if you have a large family,
for
lechem mishnah, and you don't have to worry about the crumbs, because we pass that it's not chametz, and you just don't eat it the rest of Pesach, you put it in the
chayla is not.